I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
As Paul stated in Romans, that I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes, indeed.
For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I believe that when men are ashamed of who they are, that man has a problem with who he is. Whether he is in Christ or out of Christ, he has a serious problem. Identifying with the very thing that he is going to be judged according to, and that is the way he lives his life. So I am not ashamed.
Amen.
To testify. I'm not ashamed to own him. I'm not ashamed to tell people that God is alive. And that he did give his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary, that you and I may have life. We're going to look at and we're going to talk about truth this morning. Truth. There's a lot of people that do not understand truth. Therefore, they do not speak truth. We need the truth. That's the truth of the matter. And if you do not accept what is truth, or what is true, then you will not be able to escape the Jew. Wow. Man, I say just gone, man. It's just gone. My mind. As Dante and I have come to realize, not my mind, but other people's minds, say, I was somewhere else. I was minded. Jesus wept.
Yeah.
You better not get up. Somebody told me this morning I should speak a real short sermon and just get up and say, Jesus wept. But that's not going to take place on this morning. I need to go back and fix something real quick for you all, but let's just think about truth. Think about, again, what God has done for us and for what we need to be doing concerning his word. His word is exactly what each one of us need, and we need his word in order to show that we believe.
Amen.
That we believe everything that he has told us, and we believe everything that we need to do in order to have what we have. And I'm just going to give you the whole thing since I did not set my format earlier. We don't have to worry about clicking now, Brother Brian. You have it all. But when we look at John 17:17, when it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify, set them apart. You know, what identifies us from the world is exactly, again, what we need in order to be pleasing unto God. Did y'all get that? Did y'all write everything down? And as we go through it and we look at it, and as we recognize what is happening, we are not like the world. We should never put ourselves in place of the world, because we have been set apart. We have been sanctified for the use of the kingdom of God by the master himself. You can't get around that. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many times you try to escape or how many times you try to hide, God is looking at us and He has something for us. And the something that He has for us is the exact thing that we need to be doing in order, once again, to show ourselves pleasing unto Him. I know that's nerve-wracking for some of you, so I'm just gonna put y'all out of y'all misery. All right? Looking at the truth, and again, realizing what needs to be done. Looking at the truth and realizing what needs to be done. We need to follow Him. And as we follow Him, we need to once again accept what His Word says. Go, if you would, to the book of 1 John, the chapter is 5, verses 18 through 21. That is 1 John, chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Understanding truth. You know, a lot of times we have a problem with understanding people. We have a problem understanding direction. But here I want you to understand the truth concerning two things, or shall I say two individuals, or two group of people. One is our Lord and our Savior. The Bible speaks here in 1 John chapter 5, and we look at what it says again in reference to the truth. In verse 18, he says, "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." Okay? We'll stop there. Let's identify with the one that is born of God. The one that protects another. That's our Lord and that's our Savior. Born of God, the only begotten one. The one that we look up to, the one that we identify with, the one, again, as we think about what truth is all about, we think about Him. It says, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. And the only way that this is possible is that we stay in the truth. That we continue to follow Him because He is worthy to be followed. We cannot get around, again, what God wants us to do. We have to stand bold, and we have to understand that if we are not living according to truth, we are living according to a lie. And that's not what God desires. He does not desire for us to live according to a lie. He desires for us to live according to His truth. And His truth, again, is something that needs to be desired. His truth is something that we need to say, I want to hold on to it. I never, ever want to let it go. Truth. Again, we all understand the opposite of truth is a lie. See, you can fix a lie up to look like the truth, but it will never be the truth. And that, again, is the truth of the matter. So let's accept what His Word says. His Word within itself is truth. We've already discovered that from John 17, 17. But let's look at it a little bit further. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Do you love the truth this morning? See, I talked to some people Or shall I say, from time to time, people talk to my answering machine, when my phone pick it up, and they do not like the truth. They do not understand what truth is all about. They get mad when we quote Bible. They get mad when we tell them what thus says the Lord, and they think that is our fault because they don't like the truth. But in the book of John, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Look what it says. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. His word is true. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So who is he? Who established truth? See, if it was left up to us to define truth, we'd define it as a lie. Because we do not understand what truth is all about. And we say what we want to say and do what we want to do and say that it is right. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So there is nothing in his word that is not true. And to really understand this, we have to believe in him. Amen. We have to get to know him. And we identify with him. As we identify with him, we identify with the truth. Let's not try to hide from it. Let's not try to fix it up. You know, the truth presents itself as truth. It does not need our help. Yeah. All we have to do is accept it. We continue and we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at a few verses here. We don't want to look at the whole thing. But because, you know, when we look at it and it talks about love, understand once again that without love, you can have nothing. But look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with the fourth verse. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. You know, when we tell people we love them because of who they are at times, and we love them because of who we are. But really, we love them because of the truth. You know, we can respect the person, or we can, you know, really, I guess, use the word love a person because of who they really are, whether they are out of Christ or in Christ, whether they're the meanest person you ever met or the nicest person you ever met. You love them because they're presenting themselves to you the way that they really are. They're not coming to you and being a person like this one day and being someone else the next day. They're the same regardless. And if they're wrong, hopefully one day they will change. And then you love them even more. That's truth. So don't try to come go to someone or come to someone and be somebody that you're not. Just be yourself. You can really be appreciated for that. You can really be loved for that. Now, if you're a person that's in sin, a person that's mean, now I've said this, I can love you, but I don't have to love you right up on me. I can love you from a distance, trying to get you to change. And that's what it needs to be. But we don't love sin, but we love the man. And we want him to change because that's what God desires. And as we think about this very thing, about understanding truth and knowing that the truth is the word and that love is truth, because again, love is God. We have to speak the truth.
We speak the truth because this is what needs to be spoken to us, or shall I say, this is what God has spoken to us. It is the truth. His Son has spoken the truth to us. We have it before us, and we need to accept it. We don't need to turn our backs on Him. We need to accept what He says. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses 25. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. See, you have to put things away in order to put something in its place. How many times have you been drinking something? Your cup is full of ice. And you put a beverage over that. Coke, 7-Up, tea. Some of y'all probably even put milk over ice. And I know there are people that put ice in their coffee. And after you finish drinking that, you still have ice in that container. You rinse it off before you put anything else over it. Okay, I'm guilty of that. I did it last night. I had some red soda and I finished drinking that and I rinsed it off and then I put some Coke in there. But here's the thing. We look at what Paul is saying right here when he says, having put away falsehood. See, you can't speak truth and lies with the same tongue and it be acceptable unto God. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Oh, here he come, old lying Jim. Oh, here he come, old lying John. Know that they're never going to say anything that's true. But you know, those individuals can change. They can change by putting away falsehood. Now, they may be always known as lying Jim and lying John, but now they're speaking the truth. And that's the way it should be. Remember Rahab the harlot. She ceased to be a harlot. She was found to be in the lineage of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ because she put away that lifestyle and became a follower of God. See, we have not always been the people that we are. The Bible states that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Does that exclude or include you? We all know our lives. We all know what we have done in the past. We all know what we're doing right now. But he says again, put away falsehood. Put away falsehood and let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. So what do we have to do? What do we have to do? We have to follow the truth. We have to follow the truth. And it's not hard. It's not hard to follow what is right, just as it is not hard to follow that which is wrong. But following that which is right is the right thing to do. It's the thing that God desires for us. So in the book of Psalm 25, we find these words. Let's start with verse 1 and come down to verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed of who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Now, if you ask somebody, if you ask them to teach you something, you know what's expected out of you? To follow what has been taught. To follow what you have learned. And that's what David is saying here. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me. Now remember, David came to the Lord at a very, very young age to be king. He had to be taught. He had to be instructed. Now, we look at this and we see this quite often for people who, when we say they were raised in the church. You know what we see out of some of those individuals? That they think that there's something that they have missed out there in the world, and they go back out in the world, or they go to the world. They turn to the world just to realize that there is nothing out there. Hopefully they learn that and they come back to the Lord. David, at a young age, leading the people of God, David had his problems. He had his troubles. He turned away from God. He went after Bathsheba and he had a man killed. David, he lied. He cheated. He committed adultery. He turned his back on God. But look what he says here again. He says, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. You know, David, he was taught. He was taught about his sin. How that God would have already put that away. Now, how can that be? How can God put something away when someone has not asked for the forgiveness for that? Well, here's what we have to understand. That when we see certain things spoke of in Bible, it's spoke of as it has already happened because God knows the end result. He knew the heart of David. And the heart of David was the heart of God. And David got those things right with God. So therefore, as we continue to look at David and his attitude, here again, we go down to verse 6. And he says, remember your mercy, O Lord, your steadfast love, for they have been from an old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. All of this is true that David is saying here. He desires to follow the way of God and he's asking him to lead him. See, we need a leader. You know who our leader is? The Lord is my shepherd. He's our leader. We need to follow him. We follow him to the ends of the world. Why? Because that's what he says in Matthew 28. I will be with you unto the end of the age or the end of the world. See, this is the last age. If you did not know, we have been, and we are not 2,000 years old, but we have been living in the last days for over 2,000 years. This is it. There's not going to be another dispensation after this. It's going to be eternal heaven or eternal hell. We need to follow the way of truth. So what do we need? We need salvation. In Proverbs chapter 16 or Proverbs 16, we find these words. Let's start with verse 1 again. Proverbs 16, starting with verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man appear in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness and inequality is atoned for you. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Turn away from evil. Turn away from falsehood to those things that are true. See, that's salvation. When we come to the realization that our life is not what God desires it to be, our life is not what it's supposed to be, we turn away from those things. And the only way that you're going to know that your life is not right is by hearing the truth. Amen. What does the Bible say in Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The truth. That's what we all need. We don't need anyone to come and to sugarcoat the truth. We need the truth just laid out for us. And what we need to do is we need to accept it. We don't need to run from it. We don't need to shun it. We need to accept it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Salvation is for whoever believes. It's for the one that chooses to have it. You know, how many people in here, and I'm asking this question, you don't have to answer because I already know the answer. I'm looking it around at you all, and y'all all look mighty healthy. How many of you don't like to eat? That's what I thought. We eat because that's where we gain strength from. And remember the sermon, our strength comes from the Lord? Yeah. We need to be trying to feast on his word. You want salvation, you look at his word and look at what he wants you to do in order to have salvation. His word is true. You can't get around it. You might as well accept it. You might as well fall in line with the plan. Because if you live any other way, if you try to get in any other way, you're not going to get there. People say that there is no God. What type of people say that? The fool says that. There are people that did not want to help anybody else out. What happened to that individual in Luke 16? He was buried. And there he was begging just for a drop of water on his tongue because he was in torment. He's not the only one today that is in torment. There's a lot of other people there as well. A lot of other people that thought they had it made. This life presented to them great wealth. It put them in a position where they could look down on others and not help them, and it cost them their life. And where they are now is right there with the rich man, wondering who's telling their family, who's telling their friends that they should not live in a manner that is displeasing to God. Who's telling them that they should believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? As he says in John 8:24, if you don't believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins, except you believe that I'm he. How many have died in their sins because they did not believe? How many will die because they do not believe? Do not be in that number. Turn your life over to him. Turn away from sin. Repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. See, we need to identify with what the word says, because again, the word is true. All scripture. All scripture. It's given by the inspiration of God. Confession needs to be made. See, we can't be ashamed of him. So I appreciate that hymn. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. The first time I ever heard that hymn was about 15, 20 years ago. I know that's a wide gap there, but that's when I heard it. Fell in love with it. I'm not ashamed. We should never be ashamed of who he is. Although we may be ashamed of who we are, we should never be ashamed of who he is. Because he will never change. We need to change. We need to confess him before man that he is the Son of God. Peter made that confession, but Peter went through a point in life where he was ashamed, but yet he had to get that right. So it's okay to slip, but just don't slide. It's okay to fall down, but don't stay down. Do what is right. Get up. Be the person that God wants you to be. And continue. If you've made that confession, if you had your sins washed away, continue to profess who he is by the life in which you live. So you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, and you are baptized in the watery grave. Having your sins washed away, as Paul recounts his conversion in Acts 22:16, where he says that Ananias said to him, "Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Doing what is right. Doing what God expects you to do. His desire is that men everywhere might be saved, that no one would perish. That's his desire. But we know that man's desire is not the same as God's desire. That they're going to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and they fall short. They fall short. And once we are baptized, we live the way God wants us to live. We continue to learn about him. 2 Peter 3:18. We continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue to study his word, study the truth, because that's what we need, is the truth. With the truth, whatever other book you pick up, you can detect that it's a lie. And that's the beauty of it. We only need one book. And in the world, they need many books to tell them the many lies that they have. And here again, I love this. I encountered this back in 1989. A man came to me who told me he was a Satan worshiper. And I said, "Really?" And we began to talk, and you know what he told me? He told me that the book that he used in order to worship, it referred to the book, the Bible. Satanic worshipers believe that there is a God. How can you believe that there's a devil if you don't believe that there's a God? Their book referred them back to this book. What does the Bible say? That the devil believes and what? He trembles. So do you not think that they are trembling in their belief? Knowing that there has been a place prepared for Satan and his angels, his followers, you and I don't have to go there. All we have to do is turn to the truth and live accordingly. And come judgment, we will hear, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." And not those dreadful words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." If you're here today, you have not put Christ on through baptism. Why not? The opportunity is yours. Do not allow it to pass you by. For your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. Come this morning and make that confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed in a watery grave. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back. And we're asking you to come back because the world does not want you. They don't want you. They just want to use you. we want you to come back. Our desire, just as God's desire, is that you come back, that you may not perish. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.